Growing up spiritually. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's a lifelong work doing this. As long as we're in the earth, we're having to develop and grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about our inheritance. And tonight we're going to look in the areas of, one of the areas dealing with the spiritual man knows where his ability comes from. We want to talk about God's ability that works in us. This is really an important thing. And no matter what we're doing, one of the great things that really the dealing with these areas of revelation in this area is because, you know, so many people, and even Christians, you know, we're told, you hear people say like this thing, well, like, you know, use your talents for God and that stuff. And you have to really think about what do people mean when they say those kinds of things, use your talents and those kind. Because number one, it's talking about our personal abilities. Everybody has to admit it. Well, I'm sure there's people who don't. Well, surely there are people who don't. People like to think how bright they are, how smart they are, and everything else. And, you know, you can't do, and really, there's no way that you and I as individuals can fulfill the will of God or plans of God or what God's kingdom requires under our ability. So therefore, if I'm just going to use my talents for God on based on my abilities and my wisdom and understanding, I don't know about you, I'm limited, and I found out a long time ago I'm a lot more limited than I thought. But to do the will of God, you're not going to, is we need God's ability. We had talked before and used the scriptures, which you hear used from Acts, the first chapter, in verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That there, that's the first part of that verse, is it uses the word power there, but also that word power, the translation and its use because of out through the in the New Testament, can also mean to ability, really, is God's power deals with God's ability that works in us. You know, God's power working through us causes different things to happen. It gives you and I ability to do things. We talk about the anointing, and the anointing really is God's ability. The term grace, really, we use the term grace as a thing where God does something for you in spite of you, some people think, but really, grace is God's ability that works on your behalf, that does something in you and through you. In fact, that's why it says you were saved by grace. You wasn't saved by the basis of your ability. You didn't have the ability to save you. God's ability did through grace. So grace was ability that God gave you. And when you got born again, God's ability began to work in you. It's like people talk about, you know, the areas, did God cause us to be born again? It's like people say, well, you're just going to sin. Well, there's no ability in salvation then. Salvation has no ability. That has nothing. It means you were born again just to be the old failure you were before you got born again. And it's not. It gives you the ability to live a life. That's why grace is not something that you were given to you at one time. Grace is something that works in you continually, and you need to respond to grace. We find from the scripture says, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You can receive mercy and find grace. There's grace to be found. There's grace to be had. The more you learn about the Word of God and how it works, the more grace of God you can walk in, you can live in, and that's really God's ability. It's not just some unmerited favor. I have favor with God. Well, what is the favor? What is it? You know, most people don't, they'll talk about, you know, grace being favor. Well, what kind of favor is it? Favor for what? You know, it's just, you know, I said before we got teaching, the guy today who talked about, well, you know, if he gets the flu, he's a dead man. Well, he definitely has no grace. He don't believe in any grace in that area. He believes in no grace in that area. He's a dead man. So what does grace do? What's grace's ability? And so these are the things that to grow up spiritually, or you may not live long enough to grow up spiritually if you don't believe right. So you want to begin to believe right. So it's God's ability. We receive God's ability to work in us. And so, you know, in Colossians, it's 1:13 and 14, I'm going to read. It says, you know, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. But there was a power, Satan's power, or, you know, Satan had an ability that operated over you or dominated you. And you think about it, there was nothing you could do about that. You couldn't, if God's ability didn't go to work, you were stuck under Satan's power or Satan's ability, how he worked. And so you were delivered from that. And you were conveyed into the kingdom of his love. It says, whom he have we redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. God's ability gave you something. It redeems you. And it says you had the forgiveness of sin. So that took place through God's ability. So we have a freedom to walk, from sin. And really, Satan is no longer lords over you because of God's ability that works in you. So you really have the ability to rule over Satan. So, and we need to understand that. That was given to us. That's part of God's ability that works in us. We can cast out demons. We have the ability to do that by God. So we want to walk in that. We want to look at some areas we want to recognize where our ability, where it comes from, and it comes from God. This ability, where it comes from. I'm going to read a scripture that is very familiar, and in its context, I want to talk about it. We're going to look at Zechariah in the fourth chapter, and in Zechariah the fourth chapter, in the book of Zechariah, this is going to mention about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the man who was appointed as the governor in Judah, going back down to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. That's really leaving up from Babylon and going back to the area to rebuild. And he was the one who was made the governor. He was a Jewish man, but he was made governor to rebuild the city. They faced really difficult things when they went back to build. If you go through to rebuild the city and stuff. But God spoke through Zechariah the prophet concerning Zerubbabel. And in verse 6, he said this. He said, and he answered and said to me, he said, this is what was said to Zechariah by the Spirit of God. He said, this angel said it. He said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. He said, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, the job... We hear these sometimes the scriptures. The job that he was going to do and had to do was not one that could be done by man's ability, and that's why he's talking about the first part of that statement is human ability. In other words, it's not going to be by Zerubbabel's brilliance or anything else. This is going to be carried out by the power of God. God is going to anoint Zerubbabel to stand in the office that he's going to be in to carry out the work that is to be done. And so, in other words, the rebuilding of Jerusalem was not just going to be a natural deed. Because let me tell you, when you go through and read and go over like did with Nehemiah and all them, and you read what took place to rebuild the city, it was no easy thing done. And all the opposition that they had, it would be one of those things that you could just want to quit. You know, one of the things that I don't know how many people recognize it or not, but I'll tell you what, I sure recognize it, is number one, there's no way that our president, Donald Trump, stands in his office just as a normal man. He's got an anointing, or you would quit. You would have quit alone. You would have said, you know, let America go under, take my billions, and let's go live on an island somewhere and let America go under. But what he stands under and he doesn't, he don't quit. He just keeps going. And it isn't natural. It's not, you know, most people don't. Most people talk about this. You know, if you listen to the news and even the Republican commentators and all these guys are mashed potatoes or whatever they are, I don't know. They do their talking. I realize these guys know nothing about spiritually what's going on. They have not got a clue. They don't know what it is. They think all the voting and everything is running everything, and they think they don't even realize. They think they're in their office because of something they did. They don't realize what's going on and what's happening. And it's because somebody's anointed. It's like I can see, to be able to stand and to continually go through something, especially in hardship, you want an anointing of God to do it. This is why you don't want to be out of the will of God in things, because you will not find an anointing to keep you going out of the will of God. It won't work. It's not going to. And this is why if you're in the will of God, doing the will of God, God will anoint you to stand in what you're supposed to be doing. You know, there's a scripture that, you know, that is used from Philippians 4:13 that people use. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I see people use that in general, you know, like I can do all, or I can do anything. Well, there's a sense of truth to that, but that's not, you know, you can't take one scripture and you got to compare scripture with scripture. Now, we got to understand, as the Apostle Paul writing, you'd have to read that scripture in its context. Because you just pull that, I can do anything, you know. You know, it's like people tell you, well, you know, anybody could become president if they wanted to. What's the biggest lie there's ever told on the face of the earth? I mean, you know, in your lifetime, how many presidents are you gonna know in your lifetime? So, how many people, so if you get, 100 people say they want to be president, there's a majority of them are never going to be the president out of that 100. Much less, you know, as people say that. And we need to understand this, is doing the things, and understand Apostle Paul's writing about this. He's writing about the things that God's told you to do or do. You can accomplish those things, or you can do them. What? Through Christ who strengthens you. So, we want to walk in the light of that. We don't want to just, you know, because I've heard people take this and say, well, you know, I can just do anything. Well, good luck. good luck on that one. And so, but we do need to know about God's ability and recognize the need for our ability. Is number one, God has given us grace, but we need to learn to yield to that grace. I want to talk a little bit about Apostle Paul, because there's things that we are specifically going to look at. He said, one of the things that Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul wrote about, you know, what the thing that he was going to, in the beginning of the chapter, he writes about a guy that got called up to heaven. And everybody, if you look at any of the scholars, so-called Bible scholars, everybody admits that anybody who knows anything about the words, Paul's talking about himself, because he goes on to talk about himself, the revelation he received, because, so you know it's him. But Paul's just not making a big deal because he got caught up to heaven. But Paul got revelation when he was caught up to heaven. And having that revelation, I'm going to read here in verse 7. And he makes this statement, and he said in verse 7, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, Apostle Paul's talking about he got a revelation. In other words, Apostle Paul got caught up to heaven and he was given a revelation. Now, let me say this about this so you understand this. This is one of the things that you can learn to measure. Because there's loads and loads of people who have visions and different things like that. You need to learn to be able to measure whether or not, against the word of God, whether or not a vision or whatever you have is from God. Because the devil can give people visions. You know, we get over in the things. It's number one is the revelation. You can find this majority of the time that, over the years, I've questioned whether people really had a visitation. They talk about seeing Jesus and blah, 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 this and that and the other states. But one of the things I found out, it's just usually just a visual thing. There's no revelation involved in it. You will find that God never appeared to anybody ever. Look at the scriptures, and any time that any angel or anything, there was always a revelation given. Every time. It is never just a spectacular moment. It's the revelation. This is one thing that Kenneth Hagin talked about, because of all the times that Jesus appeared to him and things. People used to talk to him and ask him what Jesus looked like, and he'd never talk to people about it. He used to say, it's not important what I saw. The only thing that's important is the revelation given. You can't walk in faith in what you see. You can't walk in faith in what you see. What do you care what Jesus looks like? I don't care what Jesus looks like. I can only walk in faith in what he said. I can't walk in faith in what he looks like. See, and this is what people, there'll always be. If God reveals himself anytime, there's never one time that God hasn't revealed himself to me through a vision or a dream that it wasn't a revelation given to me. And every time, those revelations were always in line with things in Scripture. Every time. And see, that's the importance of why. There's things that we're to walk in line with. So Apostle Paul, you need to understand this. What does Apostle Paul get caught up to heaven? What did he say he got? Did he talk about the city he saw? Did he talk? He said, I got a revelation. I went to heaven and got a revelation. That is the most important thing. I'm not interested in great speakers. If they can't give me revelation, I ain't got the time to listen to them. I have better things to do with my life. We want revelation, because revelation gives you the ability to walk in faith with God, which that's what produces things. And that's what it's about. Revelation given to you to produce things. That's what it does. So just seeing things, a lot of people like seeing things. They've written books about all they've seen. You know. And you'll see that. People, you know, get caught, say they got caught up to heaven. And they hardly really tell you anything important at all. It's all about what they saw. It's like, hey, I can look at the book and read things about heaven. I already see it. I don't need a trip just to go look. I want to learn something. You know, if it doesn't help me here, what's the value of it? What's the value? It has to help me here. This is one of the things you learn to measure things. Well, Apostle Paul got a revelation. Now, this you need to understand the importance of that. This is why a lot of the church gets this stuff wrong, what he's talking about. He said there was a messenger of Satan given that was given to him. It says, so he wasn't exalted beyond measure. The literal translation that exalted beyond measure would say, really, from a standpoint that he wouldn't be able to give the revelation. It isn't a matter of him getting big-headed. See, you'll hear these people do the teaching on this. They'll say, well, God gave Paul this thing, so he wouldn't get big-headed. This is so Paul didn't, you know. Then there he teaches. I mean, they got it written in commentaries and all kind of stuff about this. What it was he got a revelation, and Satan didn't want him to give that revelation. That's what this is about. It's to stop the persecution of Paul was to stop the revelation. The Apostle Paul is the one who received the revelation. We would not have a revelation in Scripture. It wouldn't be written concerning the taking of the church. That Apostle Paul got that revelation. Peter, John, or them never wrote about it. They never wrote about those things. They don't have anything about that. You look over and look at Peter, and Peter, when Peter writes about the end times, you know what Peter writes about? Peter writes about at the end of the age of the new heaven and new earth. He doesn't write about it. He never writes about it. He writes what the Jew knew at the time, the revelation from the Old Testament. That's what he wrote about. And he also said this after writing that. You know, Paul says things that are hard to understand, which people, he said, carry, you know, get messed up in. Why? Because they didn't have that revelation. That revelation, really, the church and who the church is was given by the Apostle Paul, was written. You remove Paul's letters, sit down and remove the letters Paul wrote to the church, and see how much revelation you have about the church. Not a lot. So Paul was given these things. This is why the Apostle Paul was so persecuted. By the devil really working to try to stop him from giving the revelation. Now, this is what we find out happened to Paul. And you're going to find out that Paul was like you and I are at times. You know, he was just a human. Now, Paul wrote in verse 8, he said, concerning this thing, he said, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. What? This spirit. So he was asking the Lord to do something about it. And this was God's answer to him. This is what the Lord said. In verse 9, and he said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he says this, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, understand, he's not talking about, he said he's going to boast in, old weak. It's not what he's talking about. The Apostle Paul's talking about here from his standpoint. In other words, Paul asked God to do something about this, and the Lord said to him, I ain't doing nothing about it, Paul. You have grace, or you have ability. You have ability to deal with this, not me. See, many times, this is what people do. They're praying and asking God to do what they have been given the ability to do. Dealing with the devil? We cast out demons. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and says, nowhere in the New Testament does it say, I'm going to do anything about the devil for the church. And Kenneth Hagin said, I was totally shocked when he said that, because he said, I thought for sure there was, because he said, we used to pray and ask God to do things about the devil. And he said, oh, he found out, and he said, the Lord gave me, quoted some scripture, gave him five scriptures on it, and he said, man, he said, I just blew my mind, because he said, we always, you know, we did it. Well, this is Apostle Paul. So in other words, the Apostle Paul was trying to get God to do something, and the Lord said to him, look, you have grace to deal with this. So what Paul understood then about himself and what he's talking about here is the fact that Paul understands he's been trying to deal with the devil in his ability. That's what he's been trying to do. And he said, now when I'm weak, he said, oh, that's when the power of God's on me. In other words, as long as I kept messing with this thing, God couldn't work. As long as I kept doing what I was doing, God, he wasn't yielding to grace. He wasn't walking by faith and allowing God's power to help him. You need to learn this. You need to learn the extent of your ability and lack thereof if you want God. You need to learn to yield to grace. This is one thing as we need to understand the body of Christ. That's why when I started out at the beginning, I said people make statements about using your talent. You need to be very careful about what you mean by saying that and what you think, because it may lead you to the place where God can't really work through you very much, because you're going to keep trying to serve God and do for God based on how good you are at things. And you need to learn to yield to that. I mean, in everyday life and what you do, you know, you can work on your job. You know, that maybe God has you working a place and he told you to go there, but you're working in that place and you're working there totally under your ability and never pleasing God. Totally working under your wisdom. See, you want to go beyond your wisdom and your understanding. You want to go beyond that. One of the best training grounds that I ever had being yielded to the Spirit is after I got born again, work at Reese's. And my everyday going to work is learning to listen to the Spirit, learning to yield to the Spirit what I did at work. I learned it was one of the things is by the time I left Reese's, I learned that I didn't do a lot of things the way I did, even though I had a lot of knowledge about things there and the department I worked in. If from a natural standpoint, I could run in the jobs in a place, knew how to do every one of them well. I used to train a lot of people on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I could do all of that, those things, but I found when I got born again, there was outside of that. Because a natural ability, you learn to yield to things supernatural. I learned to, you know, you keep things running, all kind of problems can come up. All kind of things can happen. Especially if there you're working machinery, anything from mechanics side to the electrical side to, you know, we had computers and the whole things running, all this stuff. How do you keep everything running? You know, running's money. You're about, you know, this is the whole thing. You want to keep stuff running because when you ain't producing the candy, you're not making any money. So you want the company to make money. You know, these people, an average person don't even care. You know, if they shut down, I get paid, not doing anything. Yeah, well, you can't keep that up. The company makes money. The more money they make, I found this out over the years, the more money that they made, the more chance I had of getting some. So you wanted things to work. But I learned how to yield to the Holy Spirit to learn how to take care of problems that you would normally have to go through many layers of trying to figure certain things out and troubleshooting, that God would show you things and you could get things taken care of and all kinds of stuff. Turn around personnel issues. Oh, man. God, sometimes I would almost fall over. God gave me wisdom of what to say in a certain situation with a person you're having problems with. Sometimes God gave me revelations about things a person was doing and they thought nobody knew about it, and nobody did know about it but God. And they were throwing out some things and the Lord said, tell them about such and such, and I did, and they almost dropped over dead. They could not believe it. But God will give you wisdom about what to do and say. You got to learn. It's one of the things is I learned being led by the Spirit. It's an everyday life thing. It's not something that you do church and some kind of ministry or just because you're laying hands on somebody or something. It's about everyday life and living. And I learned how to walk in that. That's what I say, like we learn at home. At home, we learn how to operate and walk in things. Many things you come along if you just learning to be led by the Spirit, listening, you know. You just get senses to do things, is to do them, you know. Yesterday, I got the sense yesterday Now, usually on Wednesday, I take a time to study, put certain things together, see what the Lord wants to do specifically at the night. And I just sensed to do it yesterday. I just got a sense you do it. So I thought, well, okay, I'll do it. And I just, nothing strong about it. Just, I got a sense just to do it. I normally don't do it. So I sat down and put things together and studied and didn't today. Things come up and I wouldn't have been able to take the time to do it. So God, learning to listen, to be led by the Spirit, God's ability helped me immensely. See, you gotta learn to listen to these things and do these things. And so it's God's ability. It's all in grace and it's working. Outside of doing everything or trying to figure out everything on how it works. So when Paul said he'd rather boast in his infirmities, in other words, my weaknesses. Look, Paul said, realizing me as a human, I couldn't deal with this. I have to yield to the power of God. And that's what you want to learn to do, is yield to the power of God, because you cannot do God's work. You're not going to deal with demons by any human ingenuity or the wisdom of men. You know, demons laugh at psychologists and psychiatrists. They don't care at all. It doesn't bother them at all, you know, about that. They don't cast demons out, you know. We're just going to psychologically, you know, they try to find ways to make us get around things and stuff. You know, when John wrote in John 15:5, he said, I'm the vine. He said, you're the branches. He said, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Why? He says, for without me, you can't do anything. Did you ever think, you know, we'd say, well, yeah, well, sure, men can do things. Yeah. But how fruitful are men's lives without God? Look at our nation. Man, we have all kinds of technology-wise. Look all we got. Just makes great people, don't it? More technology we get, the more scumbag people become. He said, without me, you can't do anything. Is arriving at that point. Arriving, God, you know, I often think about, you know why, you know, Jesus on the cross, when Jesus was on the cross and when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, and people don't think at that moment, he was then on his own. He had lost contact, fellowship with the Father. When he took on the sin of the world, Jesus never complained about nothing till that happened. Most Christians live their entire Christian life with hardly any fellowship with God. They don't notice if it's there or not there. They don't even know. Well, I'll tell you this. I would hate to live my Christian life without fellowship with God. I don't know what you do when you don't, you don't have that to follow. When all I have is my wisdom of what I can come up with, what I can think to do, who I can go ask for this or that or the other thing, who I can try to get. That's all I got. Man. Because the other words, they might be dumber than me and I ain't bright. So we might be in real trouble. And so, these things must become real to us. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 10, and he said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So you see, Paul recognizes, in other words, grace made him what he was. Now, understand this. He's talking about his ministry and how God used him. Now, you get today, you know, here's today the church world. This is what they preach, and people say this, you know. Well, God just accepts me the way that I am. And God, see, this is about the way that I am. No, most people are the way they are because of sin and because of lack of yielding to God. Paul's talking about when you yield to grace, it makes you become something. And it does. The grace of God causes you to be something that you were not and something you could not be. You will never, there is no program you can go to, there's no kind of educational thing that you can go through that takes a place of the anointing and the grace of God in your life that would cause a person to become a certain thing. You can't do it. See, we have today, we ministers and that stuff today, they go take all these courses and that stuff, speaking courses. They learn how to talk to really audiences and use psychology. How to use psychology. And the psychology is used for this, to get out of people what you want. You know, God doesn't do that. See, God's always interested in the individual. God, you know, you're not somebody that God just uses. This, most people view it like that. Well, God just, you know, this grace is just about God getting what He wants. No, it isn't. It's about you becoming something. It's about you becoming something, and it's a blessing to other people. It'll do something. It'll carry out the will of God. These people, you know, they'll do these things. They use the psychology. I mean, God dealt with me about, you know, is today how they've used that, their ministers, and how to get offerings from people. They use psychology. Oh, they use all the terms of faith and all that stuff, and they even use scriptures. But it's all about psychology of making you think that if you give to them, you're going to get something. And you know what? God's basically out of the picture. See, there's through grace I receive from God. Through grace. It's through grace. The principles of giving and receiving operate through grace. And if you don't know how to flow with that and yield with that, you're just going to work in the psychology of men. You're just going to try to manipulate people. You know, there's loads of people, they come and give prayer requests for only for the purpose of trying to get somebody to give them something or do something for them, to let somebody know what their problem is. That's why they do it. See, they learned the psychology. See, I've learned that as a pastor. You'd have people, I'd often see this many times, that people, new people sometimes come to a church, and you'll find out, you know, I know when it got, when something's wrong, I know it right away. There's something wrong. I just know it. You know? And that has to do with the grace that works on me and the office I stand. And I know it. I know it. You watch these people, they're after something. They want, not God. They're not after God. There's something they're trying to get. And you'll try to come, and you'll always find out they're coming along, and they'll start telling people the different things. Why? Trying to get people to meet their need. Trying to get people to do something for them. They aren't coming to about trusting God. They're looking for targets to get what they want. And so, people have learned that stuff. You know, I give my prayer requests, you know, we're just really having problems and all this kind of stuff, and, say, why are you telling me this? Say, I'm really having problems too. Could you give me some money? Which, really, you see, you have these things, and people have learned this. They've learned to operate in this. You know, this is what you do. I remember a guy who was in prison who we had helped out that stuff and done some things for him. And he was talking about all these problems and stuff. Well, once we started helping him, I started to see this. All of a sudden, we helped him out to get some things financially, some, you know, clothing and different things that they need, because, you know, there's certain things like shoes and stuff you got to buy your own. You can't, they don't supply them for you. And so there's things that he needed. So we did, and we you know, gave him some money so he could get some, you know, other things too. And so we started helping him, and I started noticing his thing. And after a while, he's like, he keeps asking for stuff. After a while, he's just constantly asking for things. So I just said to him about this. I said, it's really interesting. I said, before we met you, you didn't have anything. But I said, now that we're helping you, I said, now all you're doing is you just want stuff all the time. I said, isn't it funny? It's like we're not even helping you at all, are we? The more we give you, the more needs you have. And then he said this back, in which I've heard over the years, I've heard this turn, these people take part of scripture and they say, well, the Bible says to let your need be known. The Bible doesn't say that. It says let your request be made known to God. It doesn't say to other people. And I told him back, I said, that's a nice thing that you said, but it is unscriptural. I said, it lets you make your request be known to God. It didn't say to me. And he threw off the thing on him. And, but what happens is people, instead of yielding grace, that doesn't mean we can't, you know, within a church, a body of people, you know, is number one, you don't want to make other people your targets, you know, or stuff. And people do that. They'll make other people their targets of whatever they want or need. And there's people over the years ago, I had some people I went and talked to them and said, you will not go around and ask people for things in this church anymore, or you know where the door is. So you came in here and all you've done since you've been here is going around hitting up people for stuff. And I said, that ends now. That ends here today. And of course, you don't see them back anymore. That's, you close the door on that and, so, but see, number one, for your own protection, you need to learn to yield to grace. To who's taking you across? You know, there's one. We want to be gracious as Christians. But I'm just going to tell you this. If we went worldwide, just like in our nation today, the church gives away billions of dollars worthlessly. The church world does. Ministries raise huge funds that go worthlessly to stuff. Look, this is why you want to be led by the Spirit of God. This is why you want to yield to the grace of God to know what's right to do and what's not, and what you're giving to. Should I really be doing this? It's not sometimes people, they get a check, but they just bypass it. They let their emotions run of what they see going on. So many people run off of that. They make lives and livings off of taking advantage of other people. They make lives and livings off of doing that. And people get sucked in, and they swear they're walking in love. There's never any love. You cannot go against against God and call it love. You can. You can call it anything you like. No matter how it makes you feel. No matter if it gives you goosebumps, it don't matter. It's what God is. That's why you want to be led by the Spirit. You know, you don't have to jump and fix everything for somebody, you know. As I learn over time, this one thing is I've learned to do this over time. I expect things out of people. I don't give people stuff for nothing. There's something they're expected to do. And if they're not going to do it, what's the point? You're throwing things away. Because if they don't change, they're going to stay the same condition. Never changes. What's the point of it? Because see, you can't just keep taking care of people. There's not enough money in the world to keep taking care of everybody. You can't do it. No nation's been ever able to do it, but the United States is sort of trying to do it. Trying to take care of everybody and everybody's stuff. And it's not working. It doesn't work. It's why you yield to grace. There's so much that goes on that we don't know. You don't know everybody. You don't know the intents and motives of everybody. You don't. There's no way you can know. You can look at things in the natural the way they seem, and they ain't that way at all. And this is why God gives us ability, put the Holy Ghost in us, so we can see the intents and purposes behind many things that go on. Over the years, man, thank God for it. There's a lot of things, you know, you get sucked into that you wouldn't get sucked into if you listen. To listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to learn to do. That's why you want to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, there's one thing is I've learned this. Mistakes I made in things. I learned over the fact, something inside of me was telling me that was not the thing to do. But boy, it looked like really the thing to do. And it turned out it wasn't the thing to do at all. But, you know, you follow it. But something on the inside is trying to tell you is learning to listen to that. One thing is I've learned over the years, I'm very slow to respond about things. I don't jump quick. One of the greatest sins in the church is acting too quickly, and it's a sin. It's a sin. Quick, hurrying up and doing stuff. Hurry up. Got to hurry. Oh, boy, you got to take care of this right now, because if it don't, what's going to happen? And that, everybody jumps into it, and it messes up, and everybody has to live with the problem then for 10 years because they got into it. Oh, we got to do it now, you know. It's sort of like the investment scheme. I'm going to give you this wonderful opportunity, but you have to take it here today. I have one answer to that every time. I've had people try to do this thing. No. If I can't check it out, it's a 100% impossibility unless the Holy Spirit says to me, do it. No way it's going to take place. No way. It ain't happening. I don't care how good it looks. Doesn't matter. We have to learn to it's like they say, and really it's the truth. If it looks too good to be true, it is. Anybody comes along, they're going to double your money. You know, I listened to a CEO of a bank one time. It was a thing that he had written, and I was reading it, and he's talking about these places that we're going to double your money within this certain amount of period of time, and he said, if that stuff was legit, he said, we'd be investing in that stuff every chance we got. He
said, we'd be in it. If we could double 6 months, I'll double your money. He said, we'd be doubling our money. He said, we'd be after it. He said, the reason we don't, because you can't. What you're doing is doubling the money of the person you gave it to. Oh, hallelujah. So if you ever made those mistakes, just say, oh, me, and God forgive me. And then listen next time. Don't go in and tell it. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:28-29 say, Paul again talking, he said, him we preach, speaking of Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, he said, I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. His working that works in me. So Paul's talking again about yielding. I'm doing what I do by God working in me. It's not, you know, I'm the great orator. And in fact, Paul talked about he wasn't really a good speaker. He said he wasn't a good speaker. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was a terrible speaker. As a natural man talking, it's one of the things to understand. Smith Wigglesworth was very uneducated, came from a very poor area and that stuff, really talked a slang British English, you know, that's what he talked. Was very, like, broken and not very good. People, he had trouble understanding him. But the anointing would come on him, was a totally different man. He would preach with an eloquence. I mean, he would just... In fact, the seminaries would bring students to his meetings for people to see what happens with the anointing. Because they said he would first get up and start to speak. He would just sort of stammer around about stuff. And then all of a sudden they said when the anointing dropped on him, it said boom. And they said it was, you could tell it so, it was so, you know, vivid that you could see it. They used to take the students to show what it's like when the anointing comes on a person. And so, is understanding that, you know. Kenneth Hagin was a guy, you know, like, Kenneth Hagin, when he didn't have the anointing, he would hardly talk. If you ran into Kenneth Hagin somewhere and was talking to him and that stuff, I mean, he was very a man of few words. He wouldn't say much at all. He'd hardly talk. Now, he'd get up and minister. There's a difference. See, people think, well, this one thing is, that people look at a minister, they think the minister is what they see on place. No, it's not. You know, wisdom, just like I've learned with the anointing in me, like with teaching, getting revelation. If the anointing's not there, I don't have that. There's a lot of things that, man, I'd hate to have to try to teach or minister. If without the anointing, I'm not sure how I do it. I don't know how you bring things across. Many times I'm counting on the fact, you know, I mean, I'm down there on a Sunday morning and the Lord's all of a sudden changes my message. I better have an anointing if there's going to be a change in a message. Because now we ain't got notes. You know, at least you're up there down with no anointing. You can read some scriptures off. But the anointing's not there. What do you do? Well, see, I learned from the anointing. Well, he won't tell me without giving me the anointing. Because if he doesn't give the anointing, I don't have to preach. That's his problem, not mine. I don't have to. See, most people, they think they got to do, you know, God's work. If he ain't doing it, I got to do it for you. I'll take it and do it. Well, that's why things don't work out, and they're not going to work out. Hallelujah. Paul wrote in Ephesians, in the third chapter, verse 6 and 7, he said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ, through the gospel of which I became a minister according to what? The gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. See, he's doing this. He's doing what he does by the power of God. So you may not specifically be called to a minister, but whatever you're called to, whatever God has you working and doing, number one, God, and whatever he tells you to do or has called you to do, God will empower you to do that. You're not trying to figure out how to do it in your ability or how to figure that out. Many times people are trying to do things. It's one of the things that I said about being slow to do stuff. I've learned over time, you know, when I first started off, you know, as a Christian, what I got a sense I would just go take off and do. And sometimes you really get ahead. It's one of the things, especially dealing in the areas, lots of times God would show me things out ahead. Still does. He shows me things out ahead. And you have to learn to wait till you get there to do it. You don't start it now. And because why? Because there is grace to bring that to pass, and that grace to do it then will be there then. It ain't here now. So if you try to do it, it's going to be you doing it. It's going to be you. So you have to learn to do that, you know, not just so fast to do things. It's like the Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in one of his visions. He said, I would rather have you be slow, he said, than go ahead fast, get out ahead of me, because he said, you get out ahead of me, you'll get messed up out there. And he said, I might be over here doing this, but you're a long way out there. And you have to learn to do that. See, we have this tendency, and especially here in America, we talk about our productivity and always wanting to get things done and our multitasking and all that stuff, and which means this: I am so busy, I'm insane and can't hear a thing from God. Because I'm multitasking. And God's just trying to get one thing done. But I'm doing 27 of them. All on my ability and wearing out. As I said, they always have this thing, and I almost have to laugh at it, because they wouldn't want me to come and be a speaker at a lot of these ministers' conferences, because they always do these ministers' conferences, they get talking about burnout. There's only one reason burnout takes place, especially from the standpoint of ministry or really anything. People burn out because they're doing what they shouldn't be doing. They're trying to accomplish what they shouldn't be accomplished. They're trying to accomplish what they're not anointed to do. And they're out here wearing themselves out, worrying about stuff they don't even know that they can't fix or handle, trying to do it, trying to do all kinds of stuff. So one thing is, I have never felt worn out by ministry. Because, you know, you can tell when you get to a place you're getting frazzled. When you're arriving at that place, just remember this. That's called sin. You're starting now to enter the territory of worry. Because that's why you're frazzled. You're trying to make things happen. You're trying to do stuff. You're trying to figure this thing out. And it's playing on you. You have to learn to put the brakes on. I learned even working like for other supervisors and stuff like that. I never allowed a person to push me. I don't allow a person to push me. You know, I won't do it. I'm not ruining my health and getting crazy. Let them mess around and die and kill themselves. They just made an opening for me. Well, I'll get a new job with more money. But I'm not wearing them out. I had a supervisor who would do this thing all the time. He's over me. And so I had people who were under me. And he would always come along and give me 47 things he wanted people to do that there's no way that they could, there's no way they could accomplish that, half the things. And he used to do that all the time. And so when I'd go to people, I'd say to this, now this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this one and this, and we're going to accomplish today. Well, you'd always have somebody find out, because he'd come along and say something to somebody. Well, he wants us to do this and that. I say, what did I tell you to do? I see, the rest of it, that's on me, not on them. As I said, you can only do so much. And that's it. And you do what you can do. And if he ever said anything to me, I said, we did what we could do. Hey, replace me. I don't care. Then you get somebody over here, won't do near as good as I do. So, and he knew that. I didn't let him play me, because I wasn't going to try to play his game. I'd go home and I'd sleep good at night. I didn't let it bother me. You do what you can do, but you can't. You don't get all frazzled out about him and that kind of stuff. People worry about things. Well, it's number one, you can't be worried about those kind of things and at the same time act in faith. You're, well, oh my God, if I do, I'll lose my job. Yeah, well, that wouldn't be that surprising. You won't get another one either, because you ain't got no faith to get another one. You're all worried and full of frazzled out and everything. No, I was always, God will take care of me. I'll always have a place. God will always do that. Loads of places want good worker, and I'm a good worker. So, always be a place for me. Always be a place for me. See, you got to get over it. Because if you don't, you know, we live in a nation that's filled with worry and fear. And the majority of the people are driven in it. And everybody's trying to get somebody else to fix their problems. And they're pushing and pressure. You can't do it, because what happens, you get all frazzled out. You get all bent too. You know? You don't want to go there to that place. You know, when the last studies that they've done, over 70% of people in the hospital today, they said, are in because of psychosomatic illnesses. Now think about that. Their illness they have, their body's not working physically right, but it comes from psychological problems. In other words, pressures of life, different things going on, and that stuff, fears and their worries and stuff, and what's pressure. So the majority of our nation is really messed up, and we need to recognize that and decide to not be a part of it. You don't have to worry along with the rest of them. Don't do that. Don't let fear drive you or work on you. You have to learn to do what you're. Number one, you want to be a good worker. Don't be a lazy person. You know, this is not about being lazy. You know, this is about working, doing your job, getting out there, doing a good job. It's one thing as I learned is put a day's work in and really work and that stuff, not being a slouch. Get your job done, do it. And I have never had an employer who turned around and said, well, we want to get rid of him. In place I've always worked, they've always wanted to keep me. When you're going to go, they'd say, oh, man. It's not like most people. They're going to leave. And is anybody going to miss you? No. You're gone. Nope, nobody's going to miss you. 2 days later, they won't even know you ever worked there. But you want to be at a place where they want to keep you. You have done a good job. You want that. You know, I don't care if the next place I know knows anything about that. That matters not. But you want to do what's right and do good. So when I found out, that has to do with the blessing of God on your life and working. God's ability. There's God's ability. You know, I believe in God's ability to work. Just to do good old labor. Do whatever it is that you're doing. You can be anointed to do it. If you'll flow with it and do what you're supposed to do. And I've learned to do that. I learned to, you know, whatever God has called me to do, that I was going to do it. I was going to do good at it. And, you know, set yourself to carry out. You know, what you can do, you do. What you can't, what are you going to do? Don't let those things worry you. Don't get all frazzled out because today, just loads of people. You're going to have people over you that are frazzled out all the time. They're going to be there. Are you going to join your club? You can't. I've learned. That's one of the great things that really the Spirit of God taught me about when I got born again. And working and how to work in a place. How to yield to the Spirit of God. How to, you know, especially to lose fear. Most people are driven by fears. Fears is what really runs a lot of people's lives. The fears of, you know, lose my job, what's going to happen with this problem, that problem gone. You know, people today are crazy. Oh man, our 401ks are down the tube. Oh yeah, well God died, you know. God's dead now, so you there's no way you're going to make it because the 401k is definitely God. That is God. What are we going to do? I ain't worrying about nothing. I'll give them any of it. I'll give them what's left. It don't matter. I don't care. I'm not going to worry. I refuse to. There has never been one good decision made over that. And that's why the grace of God gives us the ability to walk by faith. And faith never has fear in it. Never has fear in it. Faith never has fear in it. Faith overcomes fear. It overcomes it. Hallelujah. I can trust God. If He doesn't take care of me, He's a liar. He's never been a liar and He never will be a liar. He must look out for you and I. He has to, because if we trust Him, He must. He got to look out for it. Praise God. You know, there's all kind of people right now today. They're going to worry about, oh, what about my, I was just going to retire and now look how things in this. They're going through all of this stuff. Well, you know what? See, they never planned their retirement anyhow. Well, in fact, they did. But they never got God involved in anything. Did God want them to do? Maybe, you know, there's people out here, God might want them to retire, but they're going to not do it because they're going to worry about all the other stuff. And so God was giving them an out, and they won't take it. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to wear out, get sick, and that stuff, die away prematurely. Because they're going to choose to walk in their ability. You don't want to do none of that. This is why you can't, it is an impossibly possible to live a life and follow God where what you see with the eye becomes your predominant thing that you watch. This goes wrong, so I'm going to make this decision because that went wrong. Or this goes right, looks like it's going right, well then I'm going to jump over here on this. And so you can't do it. There's no satisfaction in that. Hallelujah. We know that from the Apostle Paul. We'll talk about more of this the next time, is looking in some more of these things about yielding the Spirit of God. But it is so important that we come to this place of understanding, of yielding to God's grace, of saying, God, you know, I want to be able to come home, lay down to rest at night, and everybody needs some sleep, get my sleep and wake up in the morning. Well, I don't dread, you know. Before I was born again, I used to hate going to work. And, you know, I got born again and I worked in the same company and liked it. But you know what? I hated it before, and I was the problem. I was driven. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy, and I found out it wasn't the place that was making me unhappy. It's my view of the place and my ideas and my things. Me trying to, you know, working on the same job that I was on, but before, in the areas of supervision, I was always trying to be the supervisor. See, without God, it was always on my decisions and what I'm trying to do. And, you know, you just feel stressed about stuff. You're always mad at people about stuff. You're always, these people are a pain. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're always going to have pains. Always people going to be paid. They're always going to, well, you can learn it. Let them run your life or not. You know, let their problems and their things and say, well, you know, you know, people, they don't like you, so they go to supervisors over your head and talk about you. I didn't care. I got the point. I didn't care at all about them. And I stopped. I didn't care. Why? God will always exonerate me, and he always did. Always did. Always did. He'd be a fool if he didn't. He got a guy who works for him. He'd be a fool if he didn't. You ain't going to look after me? You know, Apostle Paul did better in jail than people do out walking around today. He's happier in jail than people do out here, you know. Going around every day, have a great life, eating all kind of stuff, going on good lives, living nice homes and everything else, griping, moaning, complaining, talking about worrying about what's going to happen, you know. My God, the virus is going to kill us all, you know. Just Hallelujah. Well, so we decide. So, you know, yield to the grace of God in you is learn to do that. Nobody, you know, I still have to do it as much as I did at any time. You don't come to the place where you just get this, I'm so perfect at it, I don't have to do it. You're going to find yourself, as situations come along, you're going to have to yield to the grace of God. Your flesh is going to want to get bothered about things and start worrying about stuff. And you're just going to have to learn, hey, hold it, I'm not going there. You know? I can do what I do. Lord, give me, you know, wisdom. Lord, if I, you know, learn anything new, is one of the things is keeping yourself under, over. Especially, you know, you're out working and you're out working in jobs. I find people do this. They don't ever want to learn anything new. Well, you know, there's one thing about it. A person who never wants to learn anything new naturally is usually the same way spiritually. They're just like that in most everything in life. So you need to understand this. One thing is I've never been afraid of new. Never been afraid of new. It's one of the things I learned even before I was born again. Anytime, like I worked at Reese Candy Company, anytime new equipment come in, I would always volunteer on the setup and running new stuff and running the trial runs on things and stuff. I always did. Wasn't one department from the time that I started there that I wasn't in on the ground floor of it when it started up and running. I always took it. And there was always the people who set up on the outside and they never wanted anything until after you went in and made everything work and then they want your job, you know. They want it once they see it's good. But see, they don't like to learn anything new. People will fight learning anything new. Well, I've always been around the kingdom of God. I want to learn. I want to know what I've had to change and what I learned new before. And, you know, you're just going to learn new stuff. You got to do that. You will never grow spiritually if you don't. And I feel so bad from so many people today because people don't learn new stuff. And so things go along and change in their jobs and stuff like that. And people end up out of jobs because they didn't learn a thing and they didn't want to learn a thing. And you don't do that. Take a time to learn, you know. I always, when computers first came out, started to have computers. And I didn't know nothing about them, and I bought a computer. And so I decided, you know, because I watched this with people, they were buying computers, they weren't working right. Then they'd take a computer to somebody to fix it, and people would have their computer, and I thought, I can't be taking my computer that I'm using and have to hand it to somebody else every time something goes wrong to find out what's wrong with it. I'm going to learn how these things work and what to do. I'm going to learn about the software and how to fix it and that stuff. And I've learned over time, and I've learned how to take care of stuff, and I've learned. But I just took the time of what I could do to keep things running, to know enough about it that I could fix things and stuff and do stuff. And I found, boy, over time, it's been so smart to being able to do that, to learn that, keep things operating, keep things going. And I mean, it's like today, your computers go, your whole office left. That's the way it is. I don't want to get back to the paperwork thing. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back to that. You know, I don't want to go back to all that stuff. I want to learn. And that's one of the things is learning, you know. As people like to do things, they did certain things certain ways years ago. Well, we just want to keep doing it that way. And eventually it'll go. You'll have to learn things and understand this. You know, working for companies and places, technology is going to come in. Whether it's great or not, matters not. They're going to change to it. So get over it. Drag your feet, and you're going to become a problem at the place. And you're not going to get promotions. You're not going to get, you're going to become a problem there. You don't do that. You don't do that. I've watched them change over to things, and I knew they wasn't going to do well changing over, but nonetheless, it's theirs. I say it's their company, it ain't mine. They want to do it. They have a right to do it. Just like mine, I have a right to do with what's mine. I don't want them telling me what to do with my stuff. Do it. Isn't it funny? We want to tell everybody what to do with their stuff, but don't tell me with mine. Well, praise God. So, you know, it's like people, I used to tell people, Reese's used to complain about it. I'd say, look, it's their company. If they want me, they tell me they want a certain thing done a certain way. I said, I'm going to do it the way they want it because they're paying for it. And I said, one thing, if it don't work and they have to change it back over, they got to pay me again. But they're going to pay me. And I just keep making money. We just keep making money and going along and making money. So it don't matter. You know, what they do with it, that's up to them. But I've just, don't worry.
Amen.
Stop the worry. Hallelujah. Don't get over in it. Don't let people carry you into that stuff. Yield to the grace of God. He'll give you wisdom and what to do. Hallelujah. Because you want to go home at night, you know. I don't want to drag home to Wanda my problems, you know, and that stuff. You take it home. People, that's one thing we learned. We didn't drag our problems from work and bring them home to the house. You didn't do that. You know, you're miserable at work. You don't become miserable at home. You become miserable at home, I'll throw you out. Not allowed to do that, are we? We never did. We didn't. Miserable at work, we didn't bring it home. Because you can't. People do. And it wears on your marriages. It wears on everything. And what people do, you know. And it seems today we're mostly, a lot of people, most jobs you're on, you're around people. And a lot of people and a lot of stuff. And you're around that all the time. And it's very easy to drag that into your life of what good's enough there. Don't take it from there. Leave it there. And say, praise God, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a good night's sleep tonight. Praise God. If the roof falls in on the place tomorrow, we'll just, when they're done fixing it, we'll go back to work. Okay, hallelujah. You know, that's nice. It's like I heard one minister say, you know, he was going somewhere and there's something, and he said, you want anybody in church, contact him. And he said, they said, if the building catches on fire, he said, please don't call me. He said, I can't cut it out anyhow. He said, we'll just rebuild when we get back. So just let it alone. Don't call me. So he's like, get that thing, Reed. It just don't bother you. Amen? Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for your ability that works in us. Gives us the ability to walk in life. And Lord God, walk at peace and joy and rest. Hallelujah. Lord God, your ability that works in us to be able to fulfill what you called us to do. So I thank you, Father God. Father, we all need more understanding in this area so that we can yield to the Spirit of God to fulfill your plans and purposes, Lord God. And Lord God, especially around in our jobs, teach us, Lord God, how to yield to the Spirit, Lord God. Lord, so you can get your hand in things. Lord, we have so much today that you haven't been able to get your hand in. Lord God, so much where people just are running their own things, even from our government. Lord God, where people don't allow you to get your hand in, and you sure want to make things work. And so, Father, we don't want to be hindrances to it either. We want to allow you to work. So we thank you, giving us wisdom and understanding. Holy Spirit, thank you for being so compassionate and not giving up on us and quitting. You know, Holy Spirit, we threw in the towel many times, but you didn't. And we want to thank you for not doing that. Thank you for continuing to reveal to us your wisdom and understanding. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.